I've got a way to make it really easy to understand what is awakening. And it's on page 4 in your handout. This is the awakening model. And you'll see in your handout that in the center of the circle are words like the present moment, stillness, awareness, reality. We have reality in big words because this is more who you are than what is in the outer circle, or we'll call a second layer of reality, right? So many of you are describing present moment, awareness. Emptiness is often a word used to describe. So that is here. But then we have the second layer of reality that everyone here has experienced because it's part of being human, right? So second layer. And this is where thoughts live. This is where we access the past and the future, because we might notice that the only way we can access the past or the future is through a thought. You can't get there any other way without some kind of thought. And how many people experienced a sense that there was no past? When I asked that question, do you notice, is there any past here? How many people couldn't find a past? Wow, good. And how many people couldn't find a future resting here? Okay, good. Because this is who you are. And we have other things out in this circle. Story, the ego being a mental construct, a way of describing this second layer of reality, right? This is also where reactive emotion is, right? Reactive emotion. You know, we also have other things out here, judgment, interpretation, something called concepts. Even we've got success out here. So success, it's like, what is success? We've sort of described it, but they were all kind of concepts, kind of ideas. Not really, you know, we can't really look like this mug and say, oh, this is success. It's like, yeah, well, this is a mug. You know, we can all kind of agree it's concrete, tangible, but success is sort of made up as a result of thoughts and meanings we give it, and it's more this second layer of reality. To understand this, it's not like the goal is to, okay, we want to, like, this is what life is about, that all we do is we rest and we meditate and we hang out in consciousness, right? Zen monks do that, right? Right? It's actually kind of useful to do thinking. I have to pick on Clark. Clark is a friend back here in the back row. Sorry. If I know you, I may use you as examples. You probably signed something early, releasing a right to privacy. But it's useful to be in thought. Clark happens to hold like a gazillion patents in the area of biotech stuff. So all kinds of cool things that, boy, I can't even explain them all. Right. But it's very cool to see him there solving a problem in his mind. It's sort of having access to the thoughts working out problems and that ultimately create inventions that may allow somebody that has glaucoma allow for some surgeon to go in and fix this based on some medical device that Clark created. So thinking is a good thing. But imagine for a minute that you couldn't take off your clothes. Whatever outfit you have on today is it for life. And you could not take off the clothes. Now, of course, clothing is useful. We do live here in California, so sometimes clothing is optional. But we kind of like it when some people wear clothes. Kind of covers up some things, right? In certain climates, it's useful to be able to, you know, stay warm or protect ourselves from the sun. So clothing can be very useful. And well, we can look hip and happy, and we can have variety. There's so many great things about clothing. But if you imagine for a minute that you weren't able to take off your clothes and ever be naked, even, you know, to have to shower with your clothes on, like, how restrictive would that be? Right? That's kind of what life is like when we live life with the second layer of reality that we're not able to take off. If we're not ever able to take off this thinking layer and the reactive emotion layer, then it's very, very difficult to feel that same sense of freedom that comes, you know, in the same way that it is when we get to be naked, right? So it's one way of really understanding this sense of the second layer of reality, and freedom really comes from being able to drop here at any time, to be able to drop the thoughts and drop the reactive emotions and drop these stories that are made up. So let's just check in and see, any questions about anything that's on our little handout here. Of course, the more we spend time here experiencing the second layer of reality through the variety of senses, through feeling, tasting, touching, smelling, seeing, the more we can live here and just be a choice to use thought in the way that serves us, we have greater access to the things that are on the outside circle: creativity, intuition, oneness, connection. But any questions? Yes.
I'm noticing that seeing, sensation, taste are like little bridges into this.
Right, right.
That's cool. That's
yeah.
Cool.
So as we are aware of those senses, right, it's a bridge to second layer of reality and a bridge on the way in. Yeah. Question over here from Miss Michelle.
Curious why you have enlightenment on the second layer.
Yes, I was hoping somebody would ask me that question. So enlightenment, so we might ask the question, it's like what is enlightenment?
If I was making this, I would have put it in the middle saying it was another way to describe awareness. I think enlightenment
right.
is awareness, noticing the awareness of yourself.
Right. And you're right. And this idea of enlightenment, as often described, is this state that Zen Buddhists arrive at, and they're suddenly enlightened, and they just only experience the inside without any of the outside. And some might say that idea is a concept. And the reason it's a concept is, well, and also it's, we might check in, is it really achievable? And interestingly enough, as Arjuna interviewed these 170 people, a lot of enlightened masters, a lot of people that teach enlightenment, and they asked the question, are you enlightened? And almost everybody laughs. It's like, are you enlightened? It's a concept. Even when you're dropped into an awakened state and ask the question, are you enlightened? It's the mind that ultimately will come up with the label of a concept. Oh, yes, I am that. That which labels. Is that clear? Yeah. And at the same time, if we describe enlightenment as just awareness, then yes, then it could be in the center, but a little bit more of a concept. And a question up here.
I like to look at it in the outside circle is it's an invitation. Enlightenment's an invitation because the mind goes, oh, could I get there? So that's what I see it fitting really beautifully into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and we might, this is a good time to describe the impact of awakening. So when somebody has had an awakening type of experience, some of you may have very well experienced that here today, that as you dropped in, that really recognize that this is who I am, really. That is awakening. And when people have that recognition, there are five possible things that can happen after such an experience. For Byron Katie, some of you have heard the story when she was lying on the floor in like an attic somewhere and a cockroach crawled across her face and she had this big awakening, right? Some of you have heard that story, right? And Eckhart Tolle talks about his awakening being on a park bench. One of my teachers experienced it in a hotel room in India. I was actually in the middle of an argument with a guy I was seeing at the time. Go figure that would be the time it would show up. Right in the middle of an argument is sort of this kind of dropping back and more connected with that space that was aware than, you know, being entangled in some kind of an argument. But so here's what can happen. First way is business as usual. And that is you have kind of a profound something happens. And I've had clients that have come to me and you know, they're walking in the park and something occurs, and if there's not any context for what that experience is, it may just kind of, oh, that was a nice experience, and you kind of go back business as usual. So that's the first thing that can happen, business as usual. The second thing is the reaction of, the Lord spoke to me, and now that experience is out there. So sometimes people that are involved in very religious organizations, even like born-again Christian, sometimes that can become, they have some kind of experience, but it's out there that's responsible for the experience. So that's one. The other is known as the re-entry high. And to a certain extent, every time we go to a personal growth workshop or seminar, what we're doing in essence is we're sort of peeling back some of the second layer of reality. We might kind of become less attached to certain thoughts and this may become less. So what's, you know, when we start relaxing out here, this is more alive. And so after attending a workshop or seminar, oh, feels so light. So there's this reentry high because you're free, right? But then eventually you kind of get pulled in because it's not fully integrated. Okay, so that's the third thing. The fourth way is what we call total supreme enlightenment. Okay, we've arrived, and now I never have to experience any turmoil for the rest of my life, and everything is perfect, perfect, perfect. Total supreme enlightenment. And it might exist, but certainly my mentor, who has talked to Lord knows how many enlightened masters, that I think this one's a myth, but we'll leave it open for your own experience, I suppose. And then the fifth way of dealing with awakening is that it becomes the initiation to endless evolution. So that there's sort of a rivering as we learn more and more how to relax more of the reactive emotions, more of the thoughts, so that we can be hanging out here more often than hanging out in the entanglement and so forth.